How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life. Mom is in Control, episode 10.
Hi everyone, I'm Felicity. I just wanted to do a quick testimonial for Heather's mastery program. I've just finished up. I've done 12 months in the program. I just wanted to sort of speak to her modules, the way Heather works, how where I was 12 months ago versus where I am now. Now, I found Heather through her podcast and I've fell in love with all different sorts of podcasts since then. It's opened up my eyes to a whole new world of thinking, a way of feeling inside, of parenting, of interacting within like relationships, you know, both inner circle and sort of external as well. I'm in such a different place than what I was 12 months ago. 12 months ago, I was sort of coming out of the end of postnatal depression and anxiety. I didn't know what I wanted. I know I wanted more, but I couldn't articulate it. And Heather's program makes you do the work, as in sort of you, her modules guide you back to yourself and what you want before you got lost in everything. It will be uncomfortable, and you can either run away from that, which chances are you've done most of your life, or you can run towards it and learn to embrace the fear. Because everything you want is on the other side of fear, which is just it's a mind-blowing concept when you get to it. It really is. The community that you will get in the program is phenomenal. I've met some amazing people who have held me accountable to my actions and supported me through the ups and the downs and the lefts and the rights, which is what life is. Life is a journey. If you're unsure about the money, just... You make it happen. If you really want to do this, I would highly recommend doing it. You won't know yourself in 8 months' time. You won't know yourself in 2 months' time, and you'll become a better person, a better mother if you're a mother, better wife, better partner, all of the above. You won't regret it. Heather is very laser focused and very action orientated, and as she says, the magic is in the action. And yeah, micro actions lead to just phenomenal things happening for you. Anyway, I just wanted to say I highly recommend it. Thanks. Bye.
Welcome to Mama's in Control, where it's all about helping women redefine the beautiful mess called life and parenting and take back control of what they truly desire. And now, here is your host, Heather Chauvin.
All right, so today's episode is brought to you by my crazy household. It is 7:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening. We just got back from Meet the Teacher at the beginning of the school year, and I'm sitting here with my co-host. Welcome, co-host.
Hello.
That's it. That's all you got to say. Say hello.
Hello.
Perfect. So today I have my son, Logan, who is almost 11 years old. I had to ask him how old he was. I forgot. We are hosting live. I had this idea. It came to me when, you know, we're in the back to school kind of energy and things can either feel a little crazy or everybody has so much ambition to make things new and renew and make them pretty awesome. But yet here we are, sometimes feeling out of control. So I thought, what better way than to actually interview my own son and ask him, what is it like to be a 10-year-old in today's age? So I'm going to ask him, I don't know, about technology, parenting, and the dreads of homework, and we'll see what comes out of this conversation. But until then, sit back and relax, and I'm going to try and keep this clean. I know sometimes I slip with my inappropriate language, but that's not going to happen today, right, Logan?
I've heard worse.
Hey, don't tell people that. Anyways, so this might even be a great conversation to share with your own children and just sit back and listen with them and have a conversation and a great discussion afterwards. So bear with me if you can hear any background noise. My husband is, wrestling the other two boys upstairs, trying to get them ready for bed. And my two dogs are fighting outside. So this is it, ladies. This is the magic of creating freedom. All right. And also stay tuned because after the podcast, I'm going to be announcing something very, very special that you are going to want to get your hands on. To do this podcast with your mother?
Yeah, I guess so. It's my first time doing it.
What happens in your mind when you get nervous?
I just get nervous because you're going to be posting this, you're going to be putting this on the internet, and a whole bunch of people are going to be listening to it.
And why does that make you nervous?
I don't know. I just get nervous when people like listen to me or hear me like talking like live.
But why? What's the story? What's going on in your mind when you hear, oh my gosh, this isn't just a conversation between me and my mom. Everybody in the whole wide world has the potential of listening to this very vulnerable conversation.
I don't know. I think it's just because I have a thought that people will think I'm not good enough or I sound ridiculous.
So a fear of being judged.
Yeah.
Do you think me as your mother ever feels that way?
I don't think so because you've done this more than once. And when I listen to you on the rocking chair, it sounds like you're pretty serious about your job. And you've done this a lot, so.
Have you? Well, that's a crock of baloney because I'm terrified all the time, but isn't it interesting how perspective, right? You looking at me thinking, wow, she appears to be confident in what she's doing. And me looking at you thinking, I think you got some, you know, courage to be able to show up and to do this. Cause I know your brother probably wouldn't do this. So what do you think makes one person able to get up and do something like this, even if they're terrified to do it, when other people just won't even do it at all?
Probably because I've been wanting to do something with my mom, with her job. And it's not like showing like a movie, like they can't see your face or anything. So, it's not a lot of people that I really know or like, well, my friends don't really watch this kind of stuff, but maybe their parents will. So, yeah, I don't know.
All right. So my intention for this podcast is to give parents and families an insider perspective of not so much our relationship, but how you think as a 10-year-old in today's society. And even though I teach this stuff and I work closely with families, I always say that
I even need to get help for our relationship because I'm too in it. But I want to know how you feel as a child growing up in today's society and how you feel when I'm parenting you. So I want you to be 110% honest with me. Even if you call me out on my stuff, I'm happy to hear it because I think your voice matters and I think your perspective matters. And what you say can help a lot of parents. Okay?
Well, you have good parenting. It's just sometimes it's when you say some things like either do your homework or stuff and I get stressed out. And then I get angry, and then I blame it on you. But I don't think it's entirely your fault. It's just what I think and me not wanting to do it.
Okay, so we've had this, if you're willing to share, because it's your life and your stuff, do you mind sharing with people what your perspective has been on since starting school and your struggles and what you have found to really support you when it came to making school easy? Because I know that's a big thing. And I want to say it's a big thing for parents, but it's just because we care about our kids, right? And we're not you. I remember what it was like being a kid, but I don't know what it's like being a kid now in every day. So talk about your struggles in school and what's helped you and what hasn't helped you.
Well, I've had struggles in school. Even when my mom had cancer, my teachers realized that my grades lowered down. But I think it's the fact when my mom cares about me and she signs me up for this stuff that can help me. And then I don't want to do it, and I realize I think that if I don't do it, and if I stop, even though I get so much help, I feel like I'm not going to end up to be as like the smart person, and I'm not going to get a good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So, okay, so I got into this work because of you, right? So when you were little, there was you had anxiety, you were nervous. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know if it's just when I was little. I still have a little bit of it, but in school and stuff, I try to conquer my fears of try to conquer my fears that like when I get embarrassed or I get nervous, that's the word I was looking for.
Cool. Okay. So when we started this, I remember years ago, you and I think you were like probably 4 or 5 and we did a meditation and then I videotaped you. So years ago, when I started this whole process, we got into mindfulness and meditation and then Reiki and energy, and I've been learning about myself and triggers and things like that. So tell me more about that perspective as a child, like your, what you see, how you see things changing, like maybe in me, do you notice, am I as evil as I used to be?
You never were evil. And changes, maybe a little, like not saying like bad, like changes that were like bad and they didn't really change. I think you've had a lot of changes after cancer and changes.
I want you to talk more about that. What do you mean by you've seen me, there's been a lot of changes since I had cancer? Which, by the way, if anyone's not familiar, that was about 2 years ago, and I'm sure you can hear about my story and such in past podcasts or in future. So anyways, Logan, what do you mean by that, changes?
Well, I got angry and, like, stressed out when you were in the hospital. And I remember the times when I would get mad at Dad, and then Dad would call you and ask if I could sleep over. And when I slept over and I would come back, I would feel much better. And then I remember all those weeks where you came home for, like, a week or a couple days. And we had fun. Like, I felt much better. But we didn't really do much. And it's just like, it sort of felt like you were still not there because you were always either in bed or someone was visiting you. So, yeah.
Interesting. Dang, I'm going to cry again. I recorded an episode that I don't think I've published yet. And it was about my story and my journey. So I really want to hear your perspective of what it was like when I was going through that, because I know, and we would talk about it a lot, that, you know, people were trying to keep you busy and trying to, you know, keep you happy and entertain you and buy things. But I know that's not what you really wanted. So tell me and tell the world what it was like for you when I told you I had cancer.
Well, when you told me, I cried. But at first, I didn't really believe you, because every time I actually think about it, I start to cry a little bit, and I go, I can't believe it actually happened. And you look so much better now, and you're home all the time, and you spend a lot of time with us, even though sometimes we drive you crazy. It felt like, I don't know, I could only let it out when I really thought about it, and that was always at school, but I didn't cry, but I would always think about that when I would be doing my work and stuff.
So tell me what you thought, what were the thoughts? So when you hear the word cancer, what do you think of?
You, and I think of how you survived it.
And before I got sick, what was your perspective of cancer?
Well, you never really told me that it was cancer for a while. It just started by you saying you were sick. And then you got, like, looked like you were pregnant. And I don't know, I just, after you started to look like you're pregnant, no offense,
none taken.
I sort of wondered, like, this isn't just a normal, like, I'm just have a cold. Like, it was like something's wrong with you and I don't know what. And then I started to get curious. And then one day I was sitting on the couch and you guys came back from the doctor's and you told me. No, I came back from school and you told me. And I started to cry.
So what was your perspective when, and I love hearing your perspective, by the way, because it's really hard for me as a parent to understand what you experience. So you were seeing me go through treatment. When did you see me at my worst?
Probably when you first got it. I realized some changes after a while when in the hospital, but I think it was the first time when you went to the emergency room, my grandma came over to bring you to the hospital, and you didn't want to go because you didn't want to wait in the emergency room or anything, and I started to get worried, and that's like the last time I seen you for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was really hard because I didn't know I was going to be staying in the hospital. What was it like? Because so you see me the last time and then I went into the hospital and I was admitted right away. And the next time you see me, I'm bald. What was that like?
Losing hair.
But I actually shaved my head. I didn't really wait until I was losing my hair. And then my hair wasn't coming out. And I thought, crap, did I shave my head for no reason? So tell me what your perspective was the first time you see me with no hair. Because I had really long hair before.
Well, I sort of thought, my teacher told me that it was like, well, not just my teacher, but people have told me that it's normal for chemo to do that. And I remember the jokes. I remember the times when we would, like, pull out your hair when it started to come out and pull the little things out. But I always, like, it was really, like, difficult for me to, like think that it was actually you because he looked so much different when he didn't have any hair.
And I was a dead, sexy, bald lady.
What do you mean by that?
Why don't you tell everybody the story about how you got your ear pierced? And I think I was home from the hospital, and I think this was a coping strategy, but you wanted to get your ear pierced, and you were bugging me forever, and you were 9 years old, and I was so sick that I just said, fine. And I drove you to the mall, and I was completely bald, and I'm standing there with you getting your ear pierced. Why did you want to get your ear pierced?
Well, you're not saying part of the story. We went to the mall, and you were wearing a beanie on your head, like a beanie hat. And you were looking at some stuff. This was, like, after you got out of the hospital. But you still, like, didn't have a lot of hair. Anyways, and we were looking at some stuff, and I sort of started to bug you, like, can I get my ear pierced? And can I get my ear pierced? And then you're just like, sure, whatever. And then we went there.
By the way, that's a classic parenting move where I just felt guilty because I just put you through all of that. So I'm like, fine, this is probably just a coping strategy. So I'll let him get his ear pierced. And you ended up taking it out 6 months later anyways.
Well, it was because of soccer. I had to take it out every game. So I was like, whatever, I'm taking it out.
So I want to know, because I always, well, I tried to preach and practice and teach you that everything happens for a reason, even though we don't want to hear that. And that when really awful, hard things happen in life, they teach us great lessons. So how do you think your life, you as a person, a 10-year-old, has grown and changed from seeing your parent really, really sick?
Well, I actually can't believe that our family went through that. But it's also an experience for, like, our family, for if another one of us have cancer.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know. You never know.
See, I just think that's some PTSD going on there. That's what they call post-traumatic stress.
I think it's just because I'm too scared. Like, all those times I get scared that I'm going to have cancer.
Yeah, that's still something you're struggling with, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're working on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I talk a lot about fear, right? Overcoming fear.
Yeah.
We have a fear mindset or we have a love mindset. And when we're in fear-based thinking, we think about what's going to happen, right? And it's this very restrictive energy where we think like we're really, really scared. We're really anxious and our minds can't think properly. When we're looking in a kind of a love, an abundant mindset, things can change, things can grow, and we can see clearly. So I want to know your perspective. Do you feel like you're afraid all the time? Or do you think there's moments when you're like, I'm just so grateful and so happy?
About cancer or?
About life.
About life? Well, there's moments when I see people with other things that I want. But then I stop and I think about, be grateful for what you have in life. And I'm trying that, like, because sometimes I get jealous what I've, about other, like, my friend has a boat and we don't. So I just think about what we have, and we're so lucky to have a nice house. And if my mom, like, never met my dad, we would never have this kind of house, home, and we would never have been, like, we wouldn't be in this big of a house.
Yeah, that's fine. You're standing over here, the mic, looking at me, like, tell me what to say, and your words are awesome. Your words are perfect. What I want to know, so I'm going to give you some questions of what us parents think about. So if I honestly, Logan, seriously, if I bought you everything that you asked for, every time we went to the store, every piece of clothing, every toy, I want to know your opinion on that and why you bug us.
Well, it's because I get jealous of what other people have. But you've also told me that you're always going to want more when you have everything you want, because you're going to see people with other things. And I'm at the point where, like, I'm just going to save up my money.
Yeah, that's fine. So I want to know, what do you, but honestly, if I bought you everything that you've ever wanted, what do you think that's teaching you?
Like, you don't need to save for anything you want. Like, you just get everything given to you.
Be honest. Do you really want me to buy you everything that you've ever wanted? Or do you want to learn these lessons?
I would probably want to learn these lessons.
Are you just saying that to make me happy?
I honestly don't know what to say
about this question. You don't know what to say about this question. That's okay. Why don't you, do you think I'm too hard on myself?
It depends on what it is. Like, if you're mad because people are, like, get married, like leaving you or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just think, that
you forget the question. Do you think I'm too hard on myself?
Maybe sometimes when you're, like, angry for some reason. But most of the time we have one bad day and you get too hard on yourself and you say, "Oh, it's all your fault." But the next day, you always say it's a new day. So we restart. And every time, like, say if we get in a fight for something, and it's near nighttime, and then I just go to bed, in the morning you always, like, wake up to be happy and happy.
So you just start over, right? It's like you have a bad day and then the next day is new. Yeah. What would you like me to do less of?
Probably.
Closer.
I would probably be, maybe I should probably do some things too, not to get fights all the time.
So you want, how does that, okay, let me rephrase that question, okay? What, as a parent, what would you like me to do less of?
I don't know. You're a pretty good parent.
It's interesting that you say that. You want to know why?
For some questions, I really don't know what to say.
Why are you apologizing?
Because I'm new at this and I'm not that good.
That's A-okay, buddy. So it's funny that you say, no, you're pretty good, because I know that even when we're good, we don't think we're good enough. What would you like me to do more of?
More of? probably more, I'm going to have to think about this for a sec.
All right. Well, while you're thinking of that, you know what I would love for you to do more of? Cooking, cleaning, making your bed, making sure your room is spotless, making sure you brush your teeth morning and night, making sure that you don't wear the same clothes 2 or 3 days in a row, that you don't pick your scabs. Am I annoying?
Well, that was kind of annoying. That's private information.
What, that you pick your mosquito bites?
Well, I itch them, and then they turn into, like, these scab thingies, and then they bug me.
I know, I'm just kidding. So, what is it, honestly, how does it make you feel as a child if I said, because I can get naggy at sometimes, but I try to catch myself, when I'm saying, Logan, clean your room. Logan, do your homework. Logan, eat, put away your la-di-da-di-da-di-da, and I'm getting on your case, and I'm saying, do this, do this, do this. Honestly, how does it make you feel? And be brutally honest.
Well, it makes me stressed out and angry because I get like, okay, you asked me to do this, and I'm going to do this first. You can ask, tell me this after I know the first thing. And I hate when you say, like, I'm not, like, I just don't like when you say, like, things that take a while. Like, do your homework. That'll take, like, me 30 minutes. And but you say that twice, it'll be like, do your homework, make your lunch. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yes, I know. I'm trying. And I'm a huge fan of progress, not perfection, right? So I have these impulses, right? We all have these impulses or where we want to shift and change and grow. So when I catch myself, I always apologize. So how can I, as a parent, reframe that and talk to you differently so that I can remind you to stay motivated and get things done without being naggy and making you angry?
Well, I think that it's a matter of, like, it's, because it's not just you that has to work on stuff. It's also me as a child because I need to be careful of what I say or what I do. And it's not just you that needs to start, like, that needs to do things in order for us to cooperate.
Yeah, but as a parent, do you think if I use different words, or is it like the energy and the way that I show up? Like, if I said, hey, Logan, like, do you think it's like, how can I remind you without making you angry?
Maybe just saying one thing at a time, and maybe rewarding me or something.
What do you want to be rewarded with?
I don't know, like maybe me and Nick can go for a bike ride or something.
Wow, that's pretty expensive. I'm getting the look.
In what, muscle?
Yes, in muscle. So you want to be rewarded by going for a bike ride?
Bike ride, yeah, I guess so. Like just something me and you can do, like one-on-one time.
So you want to be rewarded with one-on-one time. I can do that. Cool. Okay. Do you think parents try too hard? Do you mean, like, there's so many activities and we're always doing things to make sure that that you have the best opportunities and the best life possible? What advice do you have for all modern-day parents? What do children really, really need? And I want you to think of this question, okay? Because it's really, really important. So do you know what you're going to say? I want you to think about it for a minute. What's one thing that every parent should do for their children? Just one thing.
Well, it depends on what they like, too. Like,
okay, so let me rephrase this, because I've worked with a lot of families. I've worked in many different agencies and things like that. So I see families from all walks of life, right? So what do you think every parent every single parent should do for their child?
Well, I prefer like something to do like with like a family thing, or just like something like just like a one-on-one time, like I said, like just something that you can like hang out with the person and talk.
So that's all you really want from me?
Yeah, pretty much.
You just want me. You just want one-on-one time. You just want to talk to me.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you because like so you tell me things that help me in school and stuff.
So what's more important to you, if I bought you a new dirt bike or if I promised to take you on a date night once a week for the rest of the school year?
I would probably do the date night.
You really want to say the dirt bike, don't you?
Well, I'm saving up for one, but it would be nice to go on a date night.
You have this look on your face like, I really want to say dirt bike.
It's both. I don't know which one to choose.
I'm just kidding. I'm just yanking your chain. Okay. We're going to wrap it up here, Logan. But I'm so grateful for you, and I'm glad that you've had this opportunity to be my co-host on the Mom is in Control podcast. So is there any last words of wisdom bombs that you have for the audience that's listening?
Not really. I'm not that good of saying. I think I would have to think about it.
You're so funny.
Give me a second.
Okay, you think about that for a second. All right, ladies. So while my son is thinking about his last wisdom bomb, I just want to thank you for tuning in and just create an opportunity where it's actually just about having intellectual conversation with your children. We find the best juicy tidbits when it comes to really understanding our children. It's not about having to create all these amazing experiences and bringing them to Disneyland or Disney World every year, even though you'd probably want to go there again, eh, Log?
I don't really remember Disneyland.
I'm just kidding. I brought Logan when he was 10 months old. I was a single parent back then, and I brought him on the airplane by myself, and that was quite the experience. But anyways, my point is that we can create what we want to be a part of. We can create the relationship that we want with our children, and I'm not saying that mine is perfect. Nobody's perfect. Right where we are. Right? We can have fun where we are in our city. We don't need to travel around the world to create that connection, that we can create connection at home in our living room. We don't need to run away from each other or get to an exotic location to relax. We can learn to relax at home. We can learn to relax in our bodies and in our minds and in our own beds. We can cultivate connection within each other and co-create the life that we truly crave. And that's kind of the message that I wanted to get across today, but also that even though I am a work in progress and my son has his own journey, and I am so grateful that you do, it's amazing to learn more about your mind, your struggles, and help you learn. So, Logue, what's your last wisdom bomb?
This is my first time, and I hope you enjoy.
Perfect. Yay. I'm sure I will have you back on the show. So ladies, thank you again for listening.
Engaging with Heather and her program has been a major step for me. Before starting the program, I was quite lost. Things were quite dark. I lost my way in parenting and even following my dreams. I was really angry. I felt like my kids didn't listen to me. I felt like everything was just way too much work to even just do, through, you know, everything from making the grocery list to doing my job to anything at the house, engaging with my husband and my kids. Everything was just lots and lots of work. And I just lost my way. And I knew there was more to life. And I knew that I needed to engage with someone. And I chose to engage with Heather. And through a few conversations and starting the program, things started to come to light. It was hard at first. It's work. It really is work. But like Heather talks about in her podcast and through the program, you have to do the work to see results. And I really dedicated my time doing the work daily. And after a few months in the program, I can say that I'm seeing the light. I'm seeing the balance, the creativity coming out of me, the ability to make everything easy. Yes, there's still difficult moments, but like I can work through them. I can make the right decision to make that next step. I can, you know, make the day great by spending a little bit more time on myself or focusing on my children in a different way. The tools in her program really work, and I've really benefited from all of it and can't wait to see what's to come the next few months in the program.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.